Good morning, church. I'm so thankful for Travis and Whitney Young. If you have not met Travis, you now have, as he has led worship for us this morning. I've known Travis since Travis was about, I think, 9 years old. And I was, I won't tell you how old I was, but no, I'm still pretty young. But I was probably 15 or 16 when I met Travis. He grew up in McMinnville, Tennessee, and I used to travel as a high school student and work with their youth ministry a little bit. And I've known Travis all the way through his growing up and through college. We were in college not at the same time, but went to the same school and knew each other and have done things together. And we're so grateful that they've moved to Knoxville and will soon be moving to Maryville, and we're so excited to have Travis and Whitney with us in the congregation. I'm so thankful for Andrew, for Travis, for Herb, for Jim, for the way that they lead us in worship. It's a constant encouragement to me for the time and effort that they put in and what they do, for what they do throughout the week to prepare for this time on Sundays. I'm so grateful that we get to worship together as a family. I want to invite you this afternoon to make sure to stay after this worship time for dinner downstairs for a lunch. We're going to go and have lunch to honor our graduating seniors, and as you're going to hear and see and what we're going to talk about today, it's kind of targeted at our graduates, our high school graduates, and we're so grateful for the time that we've been able to spend in the youth ministry with them. This is the first class that I've gotten to see from ninth grade all the way through graduation, which is really exciting that I've been able to have these students all the way through high school. And we had a really great weekend last weekend where we got to talk about a lot of the things that we've done together, a lot of the plans that they have, what their future looks like, what their past looks like, and where they are in the present. It was a really special weekend, and in that weekend, we give blessings to each other. And that's what I want us to talk about today, the idea of the importance of spoken blessings, because I think it's something that we've lost. I think it's something in our culture, in our churches that we've lost, that God has put from the beginning of time, that He has wanted for us and from us so that we can encourage each other. Growing up, I had an incredible father. My dad had this way of encouraging and blessing me every day by saying little phrases, little one-liners, little quips. And some of you probably had the dad who did this. As I went to school every day, I would start to get out of the car, and I knew what was coming, so I would try to jump out as fast as I could so I didn't have to hear it another morning. But we'd get to school, and we'd be pulling up, and I'd be grabbing the handle, trying to jump out of the car, and my dad would say, "Whoa, whoa, 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 whoa. Remember who you are and whose you are." Okay, some of you are those parents too, so you do this too. And then my dad would always say, "Remember, you are my son and you are his son." And so he would rotate those, but every day before I jumped out of the car to go to school, I would hear one of those two things. So how did that affect me at school every day? It was something that I thought about. It was something that was constantly on my mind. It was something that as soon as I was about to do something or say something or treat someone a certain way, there was my dad's voice in the back of my head. For better or for worse, another thing that my dad did that was so special to me was that every night of my life, from the day that I was born until the day that I graduated college, even after Ashley and I had been married, he would call me, and if he had to, he'd leave a voicemail, he'd send a text message after that happened. He would quote to me Matthew 3 and verse 17. What we see in Matthew 3 and 17 is we see Jesus has come to John the Baptist, and he says, "John, I need you to baptize me." John says, "I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy to untie your sandals, to unloosen your sandal strap." And Jesus said, "No, this is what has been called for." And so they go in, and he baptizes Jesus. And as Jesus is coming out of the water, the heavens open, sun shines down, and you hear this voice. "This is my son whom I love, and him I am well pleased." What do you think that did to me for every night of my life, for my father, the good or the bad that I had done in the day, even if I was grounded, even if they had taken my car keys away, that he would come and sit on my bed and place his hand on my back or my chest and say those words, "You are my son whom I love, and in you I am well pleased." To know that my father was pleased in me, to know that my father loved me every day of my life, gave me the confidence to be who I was, to be who I needed to be in Christ Jesus. Who have been the people in your life that have done this for you? Who have been the people in your life who have offered spoken blessings, who have said things to you that have gotten you through life? Who are the people that you look back on and say, my grandfather used to always say this and it has guided me through my life? My father, my mother, my uncle, my aunt, my brother, my sister. Who are the people that have come alongside you, put their arm around you and told you something that has stuck with you for life, a guiding principle, a spoken blessing that has helped you navigate the waters of your life? There are so many times in our lives where we're looking for something or someone that can guide us in the things that we have ahead. Spoken blessing is a way that we do that for each other. God started to do this all the way back in Genesis 1. Blessings mean so much to us because God has wired us to give and receive these words as He had given those to those in Scripture for centuries. In Genesis 1, God looks at all of creation and says what? It is good. What a blessing. How many of us would like to hear every morning we get up and look in the mirror, it is good? Because how many of us feel good in the morning when we wake up and we realize, oh, it's Monday. It is good. What a blessing that would be to be able to hear that every day. And so God, at the beginning of all of creation, spoke out this blessing and said, it is good. From the very beginning, it was good. And so God had this idea of blessing from the very beginning that would be spoken out over all of creation. And not only over all of creation, but He started to get specific. The blessing He spoke out over Adam and Eve, that they were created to be like Him, to look like Him, to embody Him. The blessing He gave to Noah in saving his family and telling him to repopulate the earth. The blessing He gave to Abraham and Sarah, telling them that He was going to make them a nation, that He would finally give them the son that they had asked. The blessing continues through Isaac and Jacob, and then to Joseph when He rescues him over and over and brings him into the blessing that He had spoken out over his family. The blessing He gives to Moses is He says, I will be with you. I will give you the words. You do not have to worry. I will take care of you as you go back to Egypt. The blessing that He gave the judges, the blessing He gives Elijah that's passed down to Elisha, the blessing He gives to Samuel, the blessing He gives to David, to Solomon, to Isaiah, to Jeremiah, and to the prophets. In all of these things, as you read Scripture, the one constant theme we see over and over is God coming to people and speaking blessings into their lives and coming to them and telling them, this is why you're important, this is why you're good, and this is what I have called you for. And what is the number one thing we ask every day? What is God's will for my life? What's the number one thing I hear from people all the time? What is God's will for my life? Do you think that would change if we as a church, if we as parents, if we as members of the body of Christ started speaking blessing to people? If we started saying, it is good. God is doing this through you. I see this characteristic in you. I see that you have this gift and I want you to develop it. If we started to do that, how many people would stop asking the question, what is God's will for me? And how many people would start living God's will in their lives? We as a church have to take ownership of the idea of spoken blessing. Finding people who need us to speak something into their life, to speak some kind of truth from God, from Scripture, into their life to let them know what it is that God is doing through them. Go with me to Numbers 6 really quick. Numbers 6, if you would. This is one of the, when you think about blessings in Scripture, when you think about spoken blessings, this was a blessing that would be spoken before or at the end of all worship services. As the people would gather together, this is a spoken blessing that would be given to them. And this is a blessing that I've used before here and in other places and other contexts, but I think it's so important. In talking about what Jesus has called, or what God has called into us, out of us, as far as blessings go, this is one of the first blessings that was spoken out over the Hebrew people over and over and over and over. And here it is, Numbers 6, 24 through 26. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face towards you and give you peace. You can't not smile after hearing that. feeling that blessing, internalizing what it is that the priest would be saying to the people, internalizing in you what God is saying to you. The Lord bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you. The idea that God's peace can dwell in you because of that blessing. And then going to Matthew 3. I love the tie-in of spoken blessing from the Old Testament to the New Testament, because we find the blessing that my dad gave me all my life, we find Jesus kind of relaunching this idea of spiritual blessing, of spoken blessing, where we get from the Old Testament into the New Testament, and God comes, and one of the first things He does is Jesus begins His ministry. Before Jesus can begin His ministry, what is it that God does to launch His ministry? A spoken blessing. This is my Son. This is my beloved Son. This is my Son whom I love, and in Him I am well pleased. So to launch Jesus into ministry, to begin His ministry, what do we see Him doing? We see Him speaking a blessing into His life. What do we want to do for our seniors as they launch out into college, as they launch out into jobs, as they launch out into military service, as they launch out into the world? We're going to speak blessing over them. We're going to speak blessing into their life. How many of us, if we were going to raise our hands, would say, please speak blessing into my life? I mean, I need that. Not only do our seniors need that, but every one of us need that every day just to wake up and to get going. I love how Paul, Ephesians 4, which we read already, please go ahead and turn there. Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3. We're looking at 14 through 19. Ephesians 3, 14 through 19. Paul does a really good job of continuing this train of spiritual blessing. If you read anything that Paul writes in every book, over and over again, what does he do? He prays and blesses the people he writes to, because it's so important. It's so important for us to hear, to know, and to understand what God is trying to say to us through other people. And he's saying through Paul that I love you, that I am praying for you, that you are blessed and you are my people. And so I want you to hear what Paul has to say to the church in Ephesus as a blessing in 3, starting in verse 14. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of His glorious riches, He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being. And here's where it really gets interesting. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's people, to grasp how wide and how long and how high and deep is the love of Christ, to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all fullness of God. How big is that? How beautiful is that? That Paul is praying that over these people, that every day he is going to God and saying, I want you to feel God's love. Not only do I want you to feel God's love, I want you to be filled with God's love. So you can understand how high and how deep and how long and how wide God's love is. That is huge, church. How many of us crave that? We want to know God's love to be that tangible, to be that deep, that wide, that long, that big. If I could feel God's love like that, imagine what I could do in this life. And Paul prayed that for this church consistently. How many of us are praying that for our students? How many of us are praying that for our own children? How many of us are praying that for this church? How many of us are praying that for this community? That this community, that Maryville, Tennessee, would know the love of God. And not just know the love of God, but know how deep, how wide, how long. Know God's love in a very real and tangible way. As we look at our seniors this morning, I wonder how many words of blessing that they have received from this church family. I start thinking about the people who have impacted their lives, about the people who have spoken to them, who have put their arms around them, who have guided them through hard times, who have been with them and walked with them through very difficult situations. I wonder if they thought back on it, who were the people that they would say, this person did this for me, or this person said this to me. How many words have changed their lives? Who among us have said things to these students that will impact them forever? Seniors, I want you to hear this from us. I want to read the passage to you one more time. And this is us as a congregation. We want to personally bless you guys. And I'm going to read this one more time. And I'm going to tell you, church, I'm putting us on the hook for this, okay? because this is what we're going to start to pray over our students. If you are not already, I want you to commit with me to start praying this over our students. This is a prayer that I've prayed over students for the last 10 years of ministry in two different states and three different cities. And I want you to come in alongside me. I want you to pray this specifically for these seniors as they launch out, but for all of our students that ever come through this church. And I'm going to read it one more time, and I want you to really consider these words and think about praying this for our students as well. I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all of the Lord's people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know that this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all fullness of our Lord. Seniors, I want you to know that. I want you to know that you're prayed for and that we love you, and as a church we support you, and we're going to be behind you, and this is going to be something that we're going to be praying for you from now on. Now, church, I want you to hear me on this. This is my prayer for us. This is the blessing that I want to give you this morning. If we're going to talk about spoken blessings, I cannot leave this stage. I cannot stop preaching before I speak this blessing into us as a church family, as a congregational unit. It comes from Romans 15, verses 5 and 6. And oh man, I pray this for us so much. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind towards each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to read it one more time because I need you to understand this blessing and this prayer. May God, who gives endurance and encouragement, give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the Lord, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then skipping down to verse 13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the blessing that I want to pray for you. That's the blessing I want to speak to you this morning as a church. I want to tell you a couple stories that I feel like are very important to this idea. Ashley and I were able to live in Fresno, California for a little over four and a half years. And one of the men in the congregation who had been there since 1918 was Dr. Kenneth O'Brien. Dr. O'Brien would come to the office every Tuesday, and he would call everyone who had missed worship that Sunday. And he had a really loud voice, and he would sit at the end of the hall, and he'd say, "Marjorie, Marjorie, where were you?" So everyone knew that Marjorie had been missing. But Dr. O'Brien was a sweet, sweet man. And when I first got to work at the Woodward Park congregation and moved into my office, he came by my office, and I had preached that Sunday. In Fresno, I would preach about 20 to 25 times a year, about half of the preaching I would do there. And so he would always come the Monday after I would preach, and he decided he was going to make me the judge. So he brought a gavel to my office one Monday morning. He walks in, and I'm focused, and I'm in study, and he just starts banging on my glass desk with this judge's gavel, and he starts banging. And I turn around, and he said, Judge, I have something to tell you. And he had been a doctor since the 1940s, maybe even earlier. And he said, Judge, I'm a student of Shakespeare, and I have something to tell you. Speak the speech, I pray you. I said, okay, what does that mean? And he just said it again. Speak the speech, I pray you. And I said, oh, okay, doc, thank you. Do you need to make some phone calls now? Because I was kind of intimidated. I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know what he meant. And he said, Andy, you have a gift. You can speak to people, and you can tell stories, and you can relate to them. I want you to do it. And I was like, what? And he said, you are not doing what it is that you're supposed to be doing. You need to be doing this and you need to do it well. And I was blown away. No one had ever come to me and said, hey, you're good at this. Keep doing this and do it better. I mean, try to take your craft to the next level. And he walked in my office, banged on my desk to get my attention to tell me, you're doing a good job and I think you can do even better. How many of us need someone to come into our lives right now and bang on the desk of our lives and say, hey, you're doing a really good job, but I think God is calling you to something better? How many of us need a Dr. O'Brien to come into our life and to say, hey, you have a gift and I want to see more of it? Just last week, I was shopping for rocking chairs. Ashley and I have purchased a home over by Maryville College. We've moved in. For Mother's Day, I wanted to gift her rocking chairs for our front porch. And so I was going from store to store looking for rocking chairs to try to get for Ashley for Mother's Day for this front porch. And as I'm going, I was starting to think about, you know, my grandparents, my grandfather. My grandfather passed away a year ago last month. My grandfather was a man of blessing, a man that would speak blessing out over all of his grandchildren, over both of his sons. And he got in the habit when we were growing up, he worked with inner city boys whose fathers had either left or abandoned them or were in prison, and he worked with them through Boy Scouts. He would come alongside them as a father, and he would speak blessing into their life. Every Monday night, he would drive down to downtown Nashville, work with the Youth Encouragement Services, have his Boy Scout troop there, and he did that for 32 years. He had all of these Boy Scouts come through his program. And so he would speak these blessings over them. Well, he got so much in the habit of it that he started doing this with his children and his grandchildren. And so by the time I came along, he always had this habit where he would make sure that he had your focus, make sure he had your eye contact, and he would look at you and say, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of the things that you're doing. I'm really excited about whatever it is that's coming up. And in my head, I can still hear every day, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of what it is you're doing. I'm proud of what it is that you've got going on. And so it became kind of a joke in our family. You know, someone would pass the dinner rolls and we'd say, hey, John, I'm really proud of you. The way you passed those dinner rolls, that was really good. But we were able to joke about it because we'd all internalized that. We all knew how much it meant to us and how important, how special it was. So I'm shopping for rocking chairs and I'm thinking about my granddad. As I'm shopping for rocking chairs, an older man approaches me and he says, son, is there anything I can help you with? And I'm not really paying attention to him. I'm saying, yeah, I'm looking for rocking chairs for my wife. We just bought a house. We're really excited. It's our first home that we've been able to purchase. You know, I want to gift her these rocking chairs for Mother's Day. And so I'm kind of moving away from him, not really paying attention. And he grabs my arm and turns me towards him and he looks me dead in the eye. He said, son, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of what you're doing to purchase a home for your family. I'm proud of what you're doing here for your wife and buying these rocking chairs for her. I'm proud of what you're doing as a husband. And I lost it. I mean, I'm in the middle of the store looking for rocking chairs for Mother's Day, and I just start bawling. Because all of a sudden, my grandfather has embodied this older man and is speaking directly to me from the grave. And I am weeping. And I look at the man, and I'm just like, thank you. And I'm just like crying. And I'm standing in the middle of the store, and like the manager's like, do we need to call somebody? And I'm like, and everybody's kind of freaking out. And the man said, son, I'm going to do whatever it takes to make sure that we get the right rocking chairs for you. My grandfather was a man that would go to the ends of the world to get you what you needed. He would do whatever it took. He would introduce you to whatever person you needed to be introduced to. And so the man starts walking me around the store because this was Ray Frizzell. And so he starts walking around the store. My grandfather is now walking me around the store. And he takes me to the manager and says, this boy needs two rocking chairs. And the manager looks at him like, okay. And he's like, no, this boy needs two rocking chairs. And the manager said, okay, we'll get him some rocking chairs. That's great. And he was like, no, you're going to write down his phone number. And you're going to tell him when they're going to be ready, and we're going to have them ready for him before the end of the day. And the manager looks at the man and is like, okay. And she tears off a piece of receipt, starts to write my number down, and he said, that's not good enough. and he pulls out a pad from his pocket, and he writes it down, and he tapes it on her computer screen and said, "This is going to happen before the end of the day." And the woman says, "Okay." He takes me to the back of the store to introduce me to the man who will build my rocking chairs. Takes me to the back of the store, points me to the man and said, "This is Donnie. Donnie is going to build your chairs before the end of the day." Donnie is very surprised by this. He did not know he was going to be building rocking chairs for this weeping man before the end of the day. And so he has me walk over and shake Donnie's hand and tell him why I want these rocking chairs. By that point, Donnie is getting emotional. And I'm like, what is going on? What is it with this day? This man took the time to speak blessing into my life. But not only to speak blessing into my life, but to walk me through a situation. To take me to people that I needed to see to get something done. How many of you are willing to do that for our students? How many of you are willing to do that for your children? How many of you are willing to do that for me? Am I willing to do that for you? Because, guys, that's what we've been called to. We've been called to walk with each other and bless each other in the same way that man blessed me, in the same way that my grandfather blessed me, in the same way my father blessed me, in the same way God has blessed all of creation. We've been called to bless others in that way. As I stood with that man and I went back to pick up my rocking chairs, it was just such a reminder to me of what my grandfather had done in me, what he had spoken to me and what it meant to me and how it had changed and shaped my life. And I wonder, what have people done for you that have changed and shaped your life? 15 years from now, will these students stand crying in a hardware store? Because as someone is helping them, they remember you. Because you helped them the same way they're being helped. 15 years from now, will your words live on because you spoke words of blessing? One of my favorite things about this congregation is it is a history-rich congregation. Anytime I talk to anyone, they'll say, "I remember when Miss Roberta did this. I remember when Miss Roberta said this. I remember when Bud Coleman stopped what he was doing to come and help me in this situation. I remember when Joe Downey said this thing to me that made all the difference. I remember when Joe Downey prayed for me in his living room and it made all the difference." Guys, we are a church that blesses others. We're a church that blesses each other. But we can't stop. We can't stop. Every one of us could tell a story of someone in this building, probably, who has said or done something in our lives that has made all the difference. But some of us have taken, and we haven't given. We've received the blessing. We've taken it all in. We've said, "Oh yes, please give me more." But when it comes to our students, when it comes to our children, when it comes to the younger generations, it's like, they'll figure it out. Guys, we have to be a church that blesses. We have to be a church that speaks blessing, that's willing to walk through hard things, hard times, with the people who need us most. This morning, what is it that you need to hear? What blessing needs to be spoken into your life? What person do you know that you can speak something into their life? What gift have you seen that you've not been able to talk to them about? What thing can you do for them that would help them in the long run to understand more about God and more about their mission and more about what His purpose is for them? So many of us are holding on to words that could change the lives of people in this room. So many of us have kept quiet when we should have spoken in beautiful moments. And we have to stop that. We have to be able to speak blessing to each other so that we can live out the will of God in this church, in this city, in this state, in this country, in this world. I hope that these students change everything. I hope that the words that you say to these students, I hope the way that you guide these students, I hope the way that you come along these students changes everything. And one day, someone gets to stand in this pulpit and said, "I need to tell you about brother so-and-so. I need to tell you about sister so-and-so because they came alongside me at a pivotal time in my life and it made all the difference." Because, guys, that's what all of Scripture is. It's God coming along people at critical times and speaking blessings into their life that they needed to hear at that moment, and it makes all the difference. God is calling you to do the same thing that He has done for all of time. If you have any need today, if you need to come and respond, knowing that you have struggled with blessing others, that you have not given of yourself the way that you want to, if you need to receive a blessing today from your congregation, if you need to feel the power of prayer over your life, come so we can pray about that. If you're convicted and you say, I want to meet Jesus in the waters of baptism, I want to feel, I want to hear God say, this is my son, this is my daughter, whom I'm well pleased. If you want to be baptized this morning so your sins can be forgiven, if you want to study about what that means and what that looks like, we'd love to talk to you here. We'd love to talk to you out in the foyer. There's a conference room that we'd love to be able to pray with you there if it needs to be more private, or if you'd like to have a more public time, we'd like to have you come as together we stand and sing.